Some churches on social media would like to have some do-overs, I think, from some of the things they post, not intentionally, and certainly these didn't come from social media catalysts, but like there was one church that put on their Facebook page that Bertha Belch, who was the missionary from Africa, will be speaking at Calvary Methodist. Come here, Bertha Belch, all the way from Africa. You know, if I'm the one that posted that, I'm going to want to have a do-over. You know, can I edit that post quickly enough before somebody sees it? Somebody else was talking about the lady in her remaining in the hospital and needing more blood donors for transfusions. And she was having trouble sleeping and requested podcasts of Pastor Carl's sermons in order to maybe help with that. The one that made me laugh the most was that Weight Watchers will meet at 7. Please use the large double door to side entrance. You know, every now and then you just want to reach out and get words back, right? Every now and then you want to reach out and get behavior back. Every now and then you'd like to reach out and get a whole new year back. Or you look back on a year and you say, you know, I want a do-over. But can I tell you something? The gospel offers us something far more than a do-over. Knowing Christ means that when we bow in His presence, when we open our hearts to Him, He wants to do a new thing. It all starts when we come to know Him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul writes about how when we come to know Jesus, when we give Him our heart and our lives and are transformed by Him, we don't just become a better version of our old selves. But instead, the text says we become new creations. And it even goes so far as to say the old has passed away and the new has come. And as you read those passages and so many others, you realize that God is the God of new beginnings. And I'm guessing that right now, like in this room, there are at least a handful of us who are longing for a new beginning. I want to read you a text because it's one of my favorite texts in the New Testament, but it's not all that well known. When you think about those stories in the Bible about Jesus raising someone from the dead, who's the guy we always think about? Lazarus, yeah. Even named a department store after him back in the day. But that's where everybody's credit rating went down, not made over. This passage, though, in Luke chapter 7, verses 11 to 17, completely different kind of story. And as we were singing, and I saw some of those words of the song, it seems, you know, we said, God's always on time. At first, when you read this passage, what you think is Jesus shows up too late. But He is never too late. And so the potential for today becoming that new beginning for us is incredibly real because He operates in real time. He's moving in our midst in this moment. And so it's never too late for Him to do something incredible in your life. Verse says, soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and His disciples and a large crowd went along with Him. Now, as He approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and He said, "Don't cry." Then He went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up. This should send chills up your spine when you read this. The dead man sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were filled with awe and praise. A great prophet has appeared among us, they said. God has come to help his people. And this news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. I love the story about these two Cub Scouts. Their younger brother had fallen into the pond on their family farm. And these two Cub Scouts come and they come breathlessly in and they find their mom and they tell her that their little brother has fallen into the pond and one of them is just sobbing. We keep trying to give him artificial respiration, but he keeps getting up and walking away. And you know, when I hear that story, I think at first, you know, yeah, cute. But then I think about it a little bit, and here's what I think. What I think is that we sit in worship. We have meaningful dialogue, perhaps, about Christ with our friends over coffee. We share a meal together at our family dinner, and the conversation naturally evolves into our walk with Christ. And he's right there in our midst, and he's trying to breathe life into us. He's trying to give us new beginnings. And maybe even today, right in this very room, there's this Jesus in our midst. And he's trying to give us respiration. He's trying to give us the spiritual oxygen that we need. He's trying to create something new and fresh. He's trying to help us move beyond where we've been to a new place in him. And we keep getting up and walking away. You know, we sit through the worship service. We endure the conversation and then maybe even think about what we've experienced, and we decide we're not going to get up and walk away anymore. But by the time all is said and done, and the last song is sung, and we finish off that last bit of coffee, we get up and we walk away instead of letting him really breathe himself into us. Life isn't always easy. I don't think that's a deep, dark secret to any of us. And sometimes life is hard because we've made our own bad or destructive choices. You ever had a mess in your life that you had to clean up that you caused? I don't see any hands, but I suspect that some of you might actually say, yep. You know, sometimes life gets hard, not because of our own choices, but because of the choices of other people that are in our lives, and they impact us, and all of a sudden, we're having to deal with the consequences of the choices they made. Other times, life just gets to be a struggle because of circumstances we can't control. You know, things happen that are outside of ourselves, but they impact us. It's not necessarily by choice. It's not necessarily by anything other than the fact that life happens and we have to go through some things and deal with issues because of the circumstances that happen in life that we can't control. We live in this fallen world, and sometimes broken relationships make life hard. Sometimes our own sin makes us realize life is hard. You know, we all know what it's like for different reasons to really feel this sense of brokenness at times. But what I love about this story is that there's this incredible brokenness. And we'll kind of look a little more deeply into where that brokenness is and where it comes from. But there's this incredible brokenness in this story until Jesus shows up and he kind of breathes life into the situation. And all of a sudden, there's this new beginning. Most of us really don't want to deal with our stuff, though, right? We'd rather just kind of let it happen and go away. I still kind of like Linus and Charlie Brown and those characters, because there's lots of good theology in the cartoons and Charlie Brown. Linus told Charlie Brown one day, he said, I don't like to face problems head on. I think the best way to solve problems is to avoid them. In fact, that's a distinct philosophy of mine. No problem is so big or complicated it can't be run away from. You know, I think the reason that made me laugh is because it's so true. We don't really want to deal with the issues. We want the new beginnings, but we don't want to face up to how we got here. And I guess what I want to say to you today is that God is in our midst because Jesus promised that when we gathered in his name, there he would be. And so I want you to think for a minute. But can you be a little immature for a minute? Some of you have no problem with that. But could you just try to use your imagination like a 5-year-old might, and take Jesus at his word, and just imagine that he's sitting beside you for the next few minutes, because in reality he is. And so if you would do that for just a minute, I want to take just a couple of minutes and look at some things in this text that will help you realize that no matter where you sit today, no matter what you're going through today, no matter how hard your circumstances are today, no matter how many, shall we just call them, destructive choices you've made in the past year, no matter how you got where you are right now, there is this God of new beginnings who wants to just continually whisper in your ear the rest of the service sitting beside you. Are you immature enough to do that with me? Because here's one of the principles this text really, really, really goes after. And it is that new beginnings are possible because of his compassion for those who are broken. Sometimes we don't think he cares about our brokenness. In fact, there was a church sign I saw one time. It says, on the first line, it said, "We care about you." The second line said, "Sundays 10 a.m. only." I don't think that was the message they were trying to communicate. And it certainly isn't the way that God's compassion for us is expressed. Do you know that there is nothing you could ever do that would ever make him stop loving you? There's nothing you could ever do that would make him love you more. So on both counts, let's just quit trying and be embraced by the fact that when we are broken, when we hurt, when our life is hard, when we're struggling, it matters to him. And because he's compassionate and he loves us in the midst of our brokenness, our hurt, our pain, our sin, our failure, in spite of all those things, his love for us begins to make something new possible, no matter where we sit today. In this story, as it unfolds, Jesus is walking into this town, and on the way out of town is this funeral processional. And as he gets closer, he begins to realize what's going on, And there, it says a dead person was being carried out. You know, just pretty blunt, right? Just a pretty graphic picture of some pain. But the pain doesn't stop there, because it says that this young man that's being carried out prematurely dead is also the only son of this woman, okay? So now she doesn't have any male son that's going to be kind of watching after her, because as you go on and you read the text, not only was that her only son, but she was a widow. Now that's a massive set of negative circumstances for somebody at this time. You know, for us it's tough, but for her, she was in such a bad spot because she had no husband, and she had no son. She was a female on her own, and that culture, it's tough enough in this culture, by the way, but in that culture, there was no way she was going to earn income. There was no way that she was going to be able to do anything. And a lot of women that found themselves in this place were actually pushed into prostitution just to be able to make it. Can you imagine your life being so broken that the only way you could find a sense of financial and emotional security was to be so demeaned as to be in that place? But then it says Jesus saw her. And the next part of it says, and his heart went out to her. Okay, that phrase, it captures the compassion that he has for this woman, right? I mean, women didn't really get a lot of compassion at Jesus' day. I mean, women were had a different social standing than they do now. They were almost property still. But Jesus sees her, and he doesn't care what gender, what ethnicity a person is. He just knows that she's human, and he sees her hurt, and he embraces her in his spirit, and his compassion goes out to her. But then something really weird happens. When you see somebody so upset and so hurting and so broken, the last thing you would think he would say to her is, "Don't cry." It almost sounds like a contradiction when his heart goes out to her, but then he says, "Don't cry." But he said that "don't cry" because he knew that his compassion was about to make things different. And so he walks over and he says to her, "Don't cry." And out of that, what we begin to realize is that there's something about to happen, because that compassion compels him to action. Jesus is not a touchy-feely kind of guy, really. He is the God whose compassion drives him to act. And so what you begin to see is this new beginning that happens in this text. That new beginnings come about as his desire to help, regardless of how hard the situation, regardless of how difficult the situation, his desire to help moves him to act. I don't recommend this person's actions to you, but there's this guy that was 37 years old. His life had been a mess for all his life. And finally, he goes to a fortune teller trying to figure things out. And she tells him, "Well, you're going to be poor until you're 47. And he said, almost breathes a sigh of relief. He said, "What happens after that?" And she says, "Well, then you're going to get used to it." Well, when Jesus shows up in this situation, there's some finality to what most people are looking at, right? When's the last time you were at a funeral processional and all of a sudden the hearse stops and the guy gets out? No, we don't see that, right? So, but in this story, I love verse 14. It says, "Then he went up and he touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still." Now, that might not sound like anything of great significance to you, but in Jesus' day, it was a tremendous violation of the law, the religious law, to touch a coffin or to touch anything dead, okay? And so what he did was he made himself unclean in the eyes of the religious world. And so when it says that he walked up and he touched the coffin and everybody stopped, they're thinking, "Oh my, what's he going to do? What just happened here?" But he walks up and he touches this coffin, and everybody stops and says, "Wow, this is out of the ordinary, beyond expectation. We got to stop and watch this." And so then he talks to the dead man, and he tells him to get up. And everybody's looking and wondering what's going on, and he speaks this word to this young man. And in the midst of that, he says, I don't care about your tradition. I don't care about your how far gone the situation seems. I don't care how much out of your control your circumstances are. I want to breathe life into you. If you'll give them to me, I can do something that you can't do for yourself. And so he reaches into our lives beyond religion, beyond tradition, beyond the way he always seemed to do things before, back in the good days or whatever. And he grabs hold of the situation, touches the coffin, demonstrating that he's greater than any law, greater than any religious system, greater than death, and he speaks life. And the young man sits up. And now all of a sudden people are saying, wow, this God's an awesome God. And so what we realize is that the new beginning that happened here and that new beginnings that we experience are experienced through his power to restore, and that power changes everything. I don't know how you are about your lawn. Some people really, really like to have a nice green. It's kind of hard to imagine right now, isn't it? But a nice green lawn, no weeds anywhere. There was a guy that was kind of had that had this infestation of dandelions. That ever happened to any of you grass growers out there? Not that kind of grass. But does that happen to any of you guys ever? You know, you just can't get rid of them. This guy finally emails the Department of Agriculture in the state he lived in. He said, look, I got these dandelions in my yard. It must be some strain of them that is resistant to the weed killer that I've been using, and I've been trying different ones, and I can't seem to kill them. And so he listed all the things he'd done to try to get rid of the dandelions, and the answer came back from the Department of Agriculture. It said, look, if you've done all those things and you've tried all these different kinds of chemicals and nothing's worked, why don't you just try getting used to them? Why don't you just make friends with them? And you know what I think? I think sometimes we look at our lives and we decide to get used to too much. You know, we think we're kind of sentenced to this life. Have you ever looked at a new year and thought, you know, well, here we go again? You know, I think the bumper before we started the teaching time was pretty clear, you know, that some of us are just trying to survive. Some of us are just trying to get by one more year. Some of us are dreading the start of a new year because it's going to be more of the same old stuff. Others are approaching it with some optimism because, you know, we're going to make some resolutions. But can I tell you that life is more than just some resolutions? That in this passage of Scripture, there's this Jesus who walks over to a coffin, touches it, tells the young man to get up, and his power restores this man's life. And so even though things seem sometimes so far gone, he always has the last word. And as long as he's involved, the hope for something new is a very real piece of your life. And so I love verse 15, it said, the dead man sat up and began to talk. Must have been a teenager. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. Now, let's talk about that for a minute, okay? He didn't just restore one life. Obviously, the young man who was dead was no longer dead. That's a pretty massive restoration, right? But here's the other piece of that. Don't forget the plight of this young man's mother, widowed, no male children, dependent upon what somebody might drop into a jar where she was begging, or worse yet, some of the lifestyle choices she might have to make in order to survive. But Luke, as he tells this story, makes a really critical point in the text of saying, so Jesus gave him to his mother. And in the midst of giving him back, he's giving her a new beginning as well. You know, I think in some ways, Jesus is in the business of giving life back to us. So often we choose things that are destructive or counterproductive. So often we find ourselves surrounded by circumstances that make us feel lost or alone in this world. And in the midst of it all, there's this one who wants to raise our life up, raise those circumstances in our lives to a different place. And he wants to say to us, I've got something for you. I have a gift. The gift is this new beginning. The gift is that no matter where you've been, you haven't been far enough that he can't reach you. The gift is that no matter what your financial situation, no matter what your physical problem, no matter what your spiritual struggles are, no matter what the relationship issues are that are in your life, I can still work in your life. Let's plunge in and let this beginning, this moment, be a new beginning. Imagine the joy that this woman must have felt when she got new life. I don't know where you sit today. Yeah, I don't know if brokenness is a part of your life. I suspect that for many of us it is. I don't know if regret comes into play. I don't know if you come to church today feeling like you wasted 2016. That you started off the first 3 weeks great, and then it became settling into the same old thing and the same old stuff and the same old bad habits and the same old lack of spiritual discipline. I mean, all of us are at different places. But can you imagine that verse where it says Jesus gave him back to his mother? And instead of it being a resurrected life of a physically dead person, what if he was giving you the resurrection of the life that he wanted you to have in him in the first place? Because see, you are a new creation if you know him. If you don't, that's a whole different part of this story. You can be. So now let's go back really quickly to being a 5-year-old. And Jesus is in the room, and he's sitting beside you, and he's looking at your life. And together you're having this conversation about the things that are really difficult for you right now. And he says to you, hey, I can do something with that. I care about your brokenness. And my caring about your brokenness makes me act. And because I have the power to restore, I can do something about it. I can give new life, new beginning. We can go somewhere from here. And part of you wants to say, look, my son's dead on the coffin here. Look, it's too late. No, it's not. Because he is the great I am, present tense. And so he gets the last word. And so as you have this conversation in your imagination, what does he want you to do in response to his offer of a new beginning for this year? See, your life doesn't even have to be a mess for him to want to give you a new beginning. It just means that he wants to do more and more and more. And he wants you to know him more completely and more completely and more completely. And he wants you to draw nearer him and closer to him. And he wants you to rely on him more completely than ever before. He just wants there to be this fresh new thing. There's a passage in Isaiah. I love the old King James version of the way it said it, because it says, behold. That word always gets my attention, right? And he says, behold, I do a new thing. So he's beside you and he says that to you. What do you say back? Do you say, I don't think it's going to happen this time? Or do you say, okay, man, here, let me grab your hand. I'm in it for the whole ride. Where do you come out? What's your answer to him? Father, we thank you for the power of Jesus Christ that can restore brokenness and pain. We thank you for your compassion that recognizes that we can have this pain in our lives, this brokenness in our lives, sometimes even because we've made some really ridiculous choices. Sometimes we just create our own messes, but you don't even really care how we got here. You just want to take hold of us right here in this moment, and you want to give something back to us that makes it new and fresh and compelling, and it drives us to live and move and be in the midst of who you want us to be. Lord, we reclaim our status as a new creation today. And so we ask you to complete the conversation that we started as 5-year-olds. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.